Let's come to Ruth chapter 2 and we will be talking about, hallelujah, this glorious story, the story of commitment, how Ruth's life was changed. If you have your Bibles, it's very good. If you have your markers, if you have your pens, and you know, you can underline those scriptures which I say. It's a beautiful story filled with power-packed truths. And I want to just take you through this book so that you may understand more of His love and more of His mercy. Hallelujah. And more of His grace. Hallelujah. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." So, now you know about Ruth, what happened in chapter 1. We read the whole story of Ruth is clinging on to this passage, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, which is our theme verse. Can you look to the board if you can see it, or in your Bible, and say that? "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God.'" That commitment she took, and God started writing chapters of His blessing in Ruth's life. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to once again reiterate to you, the way you are committed to the Lord, that's the way God blesses you. Hallelujah. The way you are committed to the Lord, that's the way God blesses you. For a moment, think about your commitment to the cause of the Lord. How committed are you? Is your commitment just on a Sunday where you come and praise the Lord, sing the greatest hallelujah, and then go back? How is your commitment to the Lord? What is your commitment level to the Lord? If you ask, what is the commitment level of my wife to me? I do not need to know anything. The food is on my table. She's committed to do that. There are some other homes where the husbands are committed to do that. Anyway, food should be on the table. So understand the commitment, whatever level it is. Hallelujah. How committed is she? When I'm sick, she's there with me. She stands for me. When I'm discouraged, she encourages me. That's her commitment to me. She doesn't tell to me, "Hey, you're discouraged today, you're moody today, I'm going to find out another husband." That's not commitment. Commitment is staying together. Last week I was counseling some families, and one family came and they were telling, "We want a divorce." I said, "You're strong on that." She said, if things are going like this, we want a divorce. I said, "Don't even tell that word, because you are thinking about yourself. You are selfish. You grew with parents and you want your children to grow without parents. How selfish are you?" Yesterday, Brother Naveen was telling me about his office. We had a small casual chat. There are two managers, lady managers, above him. Both of them divorced. I do not know how is it in your companies. Is that a prevalent scenario? For some people it is. Divorce is becoming very prevalent. And co-living is we do not like commitment. And that's the beauty of marriage, where two committed people come together. When we got married, hallelujah, like Ruth, Sheba came to the land of Kerala. Seriously, she didn't know what that land had for her. In fact, she only ate dosas and chutneys always. But when she came to our land, she understood that we wake up with Abraham. Lunch also Abraham. Dinner also Abraham. First day she said, "Oh, I don't think I can eat it." I said, "If you can't eat it, you're not going to survive as a Malayali's wife." Slowly she understood that if this is not the pattern, she's not going to eat anything. Now she makes it. Commitment doesn't mean on... I would ask her immediately, what made you to come? From long distance coming. "I trusted you." That's what she says. "I trusted you. I trust you." And I always look into her eyes and say, "You can trust me. As long as we are alive, we will take care of one another." That's the beauty of marriage. Some people are going to get married. I'm hearing the news. I'm happy about that. My only request is, bring all of them here. We have made people get married and all of them go to other, you know, shelter house needs you. So consider this as a kind invitation for all those who are strong. Stay committed to the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Commitment. How committed are you? So is it the commitment that you have with the Lord? That's my question. We should not be a wife who says, Lord, if you give me good, I will stay and worship you. If you give me bad, I'm not going to worship you. That's not commitment. Commitment is staying strong with the Lord. Friends, I want to tell you, I'm just in probably halfway or quarter of my life, and every day I have walked with the Lord, it's been sweeter and sweeter than the day before. It's not that we have had everything going strong and good for us, but for Him, but for the Lord, I would not been able to open the Bible and share with you these powerful truths without His help. He stayed committed to me and I stay committed to Him. Hallelujah. And let that be our covenant to you. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I stay committed to you. Talk to the Lord and say, this is the place where I stay committed to you. Through whatever you take me, I promise, oh God, I vow, I will not leave you as you have committed to me. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. Hallelujah. So your commitment makes the difference. Make a commitment every Sunday, whatever it be, it's the time to get with my spiritual family and worship the Lord. Correct, Aman? Every Sunday you have to worship God. They all learn. My greatest listeners are the children. You will forget whatever I'm saying, but they're all capturing it. Hallelujah. No more boss baby. Correct? No baby bosses. Children. We are all children. Go to daddy and mama and say, I love you. Don't boss. I want this. That is boss baby. We don't want boss babies here. We want calm babies. Amen. And now I am struggling to make somebody calm. Help me in that. Hallelujah. Calm babies. Gentle babies. Hallelujah. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah. So commitment. How is your commitment? What is your commitment to the Lord? How strong is your commitment to the Lord? How are you revealing your commitment to the Lord? I remember the days when I was in college, Thursday afternoons, we had a prayer meeting. We used to go to Bethesda and used to fast and pray with all our friends together. And all of them are in good positions. I thank God for that. Our point of prayer was in Karunia, we had this weird pattern. You know, every year there will be one death. Somebody will die. So I took it as a responsibility. I said, in our batch, in our year, nobody is going to die. We gathered and prayed, fasted and prayed. By God's mercies, nothing happened then. Hallelujah. We rewrote history. See, when you're a man of prayer, you rewrite history. You might have diabetes running through your bloodline. You must have inherited those genes. Never mind. If you're a man of prayer, God's power will work. Amen. Hallelujah. How committed are you to Him? Take some fasting and prayer. In your offices, on every day you're eating. One day, Friday afternoon. Why don't you just forsake your lunch? And when others, your buddies are calling, hey, Friday, it's weekend, man. Come and hang around with us. Afternoon lunch. No, I would like to spend some time. I used to remember, before Brother Bevin started working, where I used to work, my first company. Every Friday, I used to go around that Koramangala Methodist Church. That time, the company was there. Koramangala Methodist Church from Sony World Signal. I used to take a round, big round, through Shanti Saga. And usually Fridays, we used to, all other days, we used to have Bisi Balebath. How many of you tried Bisi Balebath? You don't like it. You tried it? Okay, it's okay. When you are a bachelor, you can try all these things. After marriage, I never tried Bisi Balebath. But quite good. You put the mixture and the rice and you put in a mix and soup. That masala puri, one of the favorite dishes I have. How many of you know to make masala puri? So that was our snack time in office. So afternoons, Fridays, it's that weekend mood will set in and people will call us for lunch. But I still remember Fridays I used to fast and pray. And God was faithful. And God is faithful that Sony World Signal has changed and now it's a big, big center. The company has gone up. One of the key leaders of my church is working in that company. And hallelujah, God is a good God. You understand what I'm telling? Did you understand what I'm telling? Of course, I was terminated from the job. I'm not having any reservations in saying that. There was some jealousy, bitterness, and all those things. And In those times where IT boom was happening, they terminated me. I said, Lord God, you brought me to Bangalore. You brought me to Bangalore. And these people are just stationing me there. Next day, I remember we had a prayer. Some of our brothers and sisters, we gathered together and prayed. So I took the mattress on my shoulders. I remember from Ejipura, I went taking the mattress on my shoulders to IYD in Koramangala. Walking. We didn't have bike or car or anything there. I'm talking about 2007. And I said, Lord, you know, I still remember that day. I took the mat on my shoulders and said, Lord Jesus, you brought me to Bangalore. Now you see, I'm terminated from my job, but I know I have a heavenly job to do in the city. You may take me out anywhere, but I know I will come back. I will come back. And thank God, God has given us entire Karnataka now. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Hallelujah. And in the same company will not function without my key leader. I'm releasing him so that he works here and the salary they will give. I can't afford his brain. His brain is really, really great. So he works here, gets a salary where? That's how. Tell, I work here, I get the salary there. I work here, small thing only. Why God sent you yesterday to put the mic and plug? That's why God put you in Bangalore. Yeah. Why did God place us here? For doing that small, so that his name in this dark city will be lifted up. So how committed are you to his work? So the more committed you are, Ruth was a committed lady. I love Ruth for that. She didn't come to Naomi's life for the goodness Naomi had, did she? No, Naomi had, what was the life of Naomi? Husband died, two children died. Who would want to stay around with such an old lady? But Ruth said, I know there is something different in you. Physically you might have many losses, but spiritually you are full. And I'm sure that the Torah, the Old Testament was being a pattern in Moab. And that's why she knew all these things. All right. Now let me teach you something from Ruth chapter 2. Are you ready to take something, write down something, write some notes, write some sticky notes? And Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's family, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. So here he gives the introduction. A mighty man of wealth. I want to tell you and I want to place this blessing upon you. You will all become mighty men and women of health and wealth. Amen. Hallelujah. So strong. Mighty. Sister Vijaya, I want 2 crores. That's only 2 crores. I thought I would give you 20. Sufil, I need a check. What check, Pastor? I'll give you an empty one. You fill it and cash it and put the coolers in. Well, if that happens, what joy it is. Eh? We are joyful. Yeah. You should be so mighty man of wealth that you will have 3-4 houses and you say, Pastor, I have designed a dream house for you. With jacuzzi and swimming pool and anytime to gym. Your health is very important to us. Swim and jump and gym. Well, whether it happens or no, it's a different story. But may you all become mighty in your own way. Hallelujah. Mighty in your own way. Mighty in health. Not weak. Not weak. Mighty. Mighty man of wealth. Gideon was called as mighty man of valor. Valor. Mighty man. Abraham was mighty. Isaac was mighty. Wasn't he mighty? In Genesis 26, we read, the Philistines and all those fellows are telling, you are too mighty for us. Please get out. And Isaac didn't fight with them. Okay. If you are not there, I have all the world. He didn't stand and fight. He said, okay, I'm also mighty. You are going to be mighty in Jesus' name. I declare you mighty in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and receive the blessing. Hallelujah. Naveen Garu, lift your hands and receive the blessing. You're mighty. Hallelujah. Everyone, I want all of you. All of you to be mighty. Mighty in spirit. mighty in valor, mighty. Hallelujah. And then chapter 2, verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess, not the Teluguite, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go my daughter, go my daughter. So Ruth did not say, let my mother-in-law introduce me to some good people. Let my mother-in-law cook and give me. Let my mother-in-law make tea for me. Why don't you do the other way around? Let me cook something for her. Hallelujah. These days you don't get that privilege because all of them are living apart. Praise the Lord. Our job is also eased. You know, the proposition when mother-in-law and daughter-in-law are there is really quite hard. The poor son is in between, tug of war. Hallelujah. Amen. But these days it's all nuclear. You're all working away. You're all working. So once in a while they come and, well, a small volcano, they can just start and go. It all happens. But Ruth was a proactive girl, passionate girl. Passionate girl. That's what my point is. She was passionate about her family. She was not ready to give up. Situations were so bad. In fact, Naomi said, I am Mara, call me empty. Don't call me pleasant. I have nothing pleasant in me. But Ruth was telling, yes, things have happened badly, but I am not ready to give up. I am going to rise up. I am going to go to a field. I am going to go where God is going to send me favor. I am going to go where God is going to show me kindness. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me go now. Everybody say, let me go now. Let me go now. She's telling, I'm not waiting for any other person to bless me. I am going to go for the blessing of the family. My question to you, what are you initiating in your family to rise up? That the entire family may rise up. It might be a family prayer. It might be a family devotion. It might be a fasting and prayer. It might be a Skype call and talking about word of God to your family. I encourage all of Shelter House members to talk to your parents, loved ones, about what you hear on the church every Sunday. Encourage them. Talk to them. Hallelujah. Do something so powerful and passionately for your family that your family will rise up. It's enough that they must have gone through storms after storm. But I want to tell you, this is the time for you to rise up. Like Ruth said, she didn't wait for anybody. How passion she had. She said, I'm going to rise up and go. And Naomi said, go, my daughter. And the Bible says, verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. If you take Deuteronomy 24:19, just take Deuteronomy 24 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 24 and 19. That was the law of God. That was definitely sounded. That's why she went to do this. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and as for God, a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. How many of you have seen farming once in a while? You have seen farming? So when they harvest the field, these days we see only buildings, that's why I'm asking. So when they do the farming, they leave the sheaves. They cannot take all the sheaves together. Some sheaves are left by the harvesters because they are not able to manually gather it. What the Lord said is, when you harvest, don't go behind what is left. That is for the poor. That's for the widow. That's for the stranger. That's the same thing what you do with your money that you get every month. Let the first portion be God's portion. Let's not meddle with that. Let us give it to people. Let us support the poor. Let's support the needy. Let's support the stranger. And that's why we encourage you to tithe or give your income, sacred part, to the Lord. Don't eat from what belongs to the Lord. What is left behind. He's just asking you something. Give it to him. May his work expand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this Ruth knew, and without an appointment letter, she knew that there would be some sheaves in the harvest time and she could gather at least something for the family to survive. The Bible says she comes to a field. She comes to the right place. Once you have the passion for the Lord, right passion for the Lord, you come to the right place of grace. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, there's no accidents in Christian life. There's no accident. Dr. Saab, look at his life. I don't know how many of you know his life. He was in Damdari for a long time. But before that, you were born where, Dr. Saab? Chhattisgarh, Tilda. Tilda, no, that's where you were born. Okay, that was your native. So he was in Chhattisgarh for a long time. But situations proved that he had to come to Bangalore. Who in the world thought that you'd be in Bangalore? I never thought that I would be in Bangalore. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And I want to tell you, God has a plan and purpose for you in this city. Hallelujah. When you are under the sovereign plan of God, there is nothing like an accident in your life. He puts it all together. When we started the church, we were just very few in number. Nobody, in fact, nobody who is here was here that time when we started. But God in His sovereignty brought all of us together, made us brothers and sisters, exchanging our life, sharing our lives, and being a blessing to one another. That's God's sovereignty. So lift your hands and say, in God's sovereignty, there is no accidents. There are no accidents. Hallelujah. I went to Karunya and I still remember. Seeing this girl leading worship in the first year, I never ever imagined that I will get hitched to her and hooked to her. Never. Even in the final year, we never had any relation like that. I was always a strict man. I was in charge of the campus ministry. Though I was doing my engineering work, we had a lot of spiritual atmosphere. But God in His sovereignty brought us together. There's nothing like an accident. Amen. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has placed the right people in your life. And I want to tell you, once you are in the field of Boaz, everything is going to be all right. You're in the right place. Once you have the right passion, you're in the right place. Everybody say right place. She went and came and gleaned in the field. And it was belonging to Boaz, that mighty man. I want to tell you, you are in the church of God, belonging to the mighty man of Israel, the mighty one of Israel. His name is Jesus. And as long as you are in His church, which is the farmland, everything is going to be okay. Say, everything is going to be okay. As long as I'm in the church. Tell it, as long as I'm in the church, everything is going to be okay. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says so. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians. Now, you can probably mark your side notes and write it if that place is the church. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. You are God's, we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, means you're God's farmland. Hallelujah. You're God's farmland. The church is God's farmland. Today we are laboring. Today I'm laboring with the word. I'm sowing good seeds on your field. And you are going to bear fruit for the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not going to be without fruit. You're going to hear a lot of God's word. You're going to hear a lot of God's word. A lot of fruits will come from your life. Amen. James 5 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 6. We read that the church is a farmland. The church is a farmland. And we are waiting for harvest. Hallelujah. David Livingstone, you have to go and take his homework. David Livingstone's story. How much he labored in Africa. He didn't get even one soul. For years he labored. Not even one soul. But Africa opened up after his death. We do not know the effect of what we do now. Hallelujah. But I'm sure the Lord will cause a great harvest some or the other day. Hallelujah. And I pray that as long as you're in the church, everything will go well with you. Look at what is the blessing when you're in the right place. In verse 12, it says, the Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee. Everybody say, full reward. Full reward. For the small, small things that you do in the church, you're going to get a full reward. Say, full reward. Right place. You are at the right place. When God works in your life, you are in the right place. And you are getting a full reward. Be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You have come to trust under the wings of God. Are you under the wings of God today? Amen. you will get a full reward. So when you have the right passion, you come to the right place, then you meet the right person or the right people around you. God puts the right people around you. If you look at verse 4, are you there in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 4? And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. See, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Jesus also comes from Bethlehem. Okay. As I go through, you will understand who this good Boaz is. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. That was the greeting. And they answered them, the Lord bless thee. Ah, what a greeting. The Lord be with you. Many of people say praise the Lord only when they see pastor. Praise the Lord. Other time, no praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You praise the Lord, Baba, no problem. Don't tell praise the Lord to me. No, you come and tell praise the Lord, no problem. That's a greeting. That has become a greeting. But this is a good greeting. The Lord be with you. I'm going to try this out. Next time onwards, I'm not going to tell you praise the Lord. The Lord be with you. And you can reply, the Lord bless you too. Wow. That's a good. So managers, some managers, you can try this in your offices. The Lord be with you. Suddenly they will be calm. They will not raise their voice against you. They will not write that email also. They will think you are weird, and promotion also they will give. You try this. The Lord be with you. Hallelujah. And they said, and who is hearing this all? Ruth, in the, as a stranger in that field. Imagine that young girl. What is going through her mind? What's happening on her? It's a praise and worship environment altogether. And then we read in verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Who is this young girl? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered, it is the Moabitish girl that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she asked me whether I can glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued. Everybody say continued. Continued even from the morning until now. She has only taken little rest. What a commitment. What a commitment to work. What a commitment. She was not that person who said, benediction is before benediction, jumping around. Some people come to church missing praise and worship and attend the message and go. If you stay full time, full reward. Say praise the Lord. That's how it is. See, Ruth gives us a commitment to her devotion. She was only little time of these days. Christians work very badly. They reach the offices at 11 o'clock. 12:30, what happens? Well, then they see the email. Hey, buddy, how are you doing, man? Work for them, talk. 12 o'clock, that work mail will come. Oh, that is sent previous day, 12 o'clock. Now only he's looking. Next day, 24 hours, over. Now only Aya is looking at the... Suddenly, lunch. Hey, buddy, come, let's go for... Ah, come on, correct. We'll go for lunch. Anyway, come. So, 12 o'clock, they will go for lunch. How many hours? 2 hours lunch. 2 hours. Solid. Pakka lunch. 2 hours pakka lunch. 1 hour is going in waiting and all those things. And then by the time suddenly the chicken in the kitchen or chicken in the stomach starts working. And suddenly the Ajinomoto and what is that? Gunpowder all starts working. And little more break. Half an hour we'll just. So you are sitting there. Dormitory is. In Infosys, we used to have dormitory. I don't know how many of your offices have dormitory. You have? Yeah. So, if there's a dormitory, I used it so much. After that, they brought a system, attendance system. So, if you are in the dormitory, they will reduce that much work hours. So, by the by, we come back to the work. 2 o'clock and then 3:30, tea time. 4 o'clock, suddenly the traffic, rains are coming. Oh, if I don't go out now... What happened? That work mail is still pending. The manager is looking like this. When this fellow is going to work on that? Oh, gone. Friends, let Ruth's work style work in you. Amen. Be faithful in the place where God has planted you. Do your best work. Smart work. I'm not telling you to hard work. Of course, if you can hard work, it's good. But not extending the time. 9 to 6, you are recruited. It's there in your appointment letter. Though we don't function according to that. We suddenly become the owners of the company and we'll come at 12 o'clock. You know, I don't think how it works there. I don't think it works like that. In software and all, it's just easy. That's why everybody wants to become a software engineer. Hallelujah. May your work ethic bring glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So here, the supervisor is telling about Ruth. She's a committed worker. She's just took little rest. And in verse 8, Boaz is telling to Ruth, "Here, my daughter." He's calling my daughter. Wow. The company person is calling a stranger my daughter. See, when you have favor, that's the place where you have to be. I always take that as a sign. When you have favor in a place, that's the place you have to go. For example, if you go to a chicken shop, if that fellow is looking at you like that, don't buy the chicken there. You change the place. If he's smiling at you and, you know, putting that extra little, some fellows gave mutton as if they put it on a big pedestal. That mutton, we cannot see also. They must have put something there already. We do not know. You have seen this mutton, fellows? How many of you have seen that? You are not tall enough to see what's there inside. Next time you try, okay? I always look there. These fellows, no, they will not, we do not know. It's on a pedestal. So you do not know if already something is there. And when I ask him, we are giving money. 1 kilo is 500 rupees now. I said, when did this increase so much? From January itself, it increased, it seems. I said, okay, put a little more extra, good piece. He's looking at me like this. 500 rupees we are paying and he's giving all the Kali piece. If that is the mutton shop, don't buy from there. Go to a fellow and say, sir, paisa, thoda, dalo, zarur paisa, one little extra. That's the place where you have to buy. Hallelujah. When you go for searching for a house for a tenant, when he's telling, okay, I'm coming to your terms. I understand you. That's the place you have. Some people say, no, 10 months advance, not one paisa. Don't ever go there. That's not the place for you to live. I believe God works in favor for his people. Amen. When you go to search your husband, when you look at a fellow boomerang, he looks like that crab. You should remove that, okay? His face looks like that crab. His mother-in-law looks like a spider. Don't ever place your face there. God will not show you favor. But when you go itself, you see some environment there, that's the person whom you should marry. You understand what I'm telling? Some people are already in your marriage ground. My goodness. Come back to Ruth. Hallelujah. Right person. Boaz is telling, this is the right person. This is the right person. Your daughter, don't go anywhere to. Do not go to any other field. Verse 9. But abide here. Verse 9. Let thy eyes be on the field that they do reap and go after them. I have charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. Hallelujah. They shall not touch you. When you get the right person, you get the right protection. Amen. I have charged them not to touch you. Friends, I want to tell you, you might be in your offices. God's charge are on those young evil fellows not to even look at you. Get the protection, Z plus security from the church. Hallelujah. You might be going, you might not see anything. As you're driving your car, as your vehicle, you should always understand that there are angels just to take care of you. That doesn't mean when you go in 180 and 220, they will catch up with you. Sometimes they cannot catch up. When you know that you have angelic protection, go that pattern. You know how the VIP is going? Not the big fast zoom. You have angelic protection. God has charged people not to harm you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, I will not be harmed by anybody. Hallelujah. Because I am in the field of Boaz. He is in control of the things here. Jesus is in control of my things. Nothing shall harm me. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, it says, I have given you authority over serpents and scorpions and upon all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. Lift your hands and say, nothing shall harm me. Nothing shall harm me. The evil demonic spirits can't harm me. My manager cannot harm me. My damager cannot harm me. My husband cannot harm me. My wife cannot harm me. My enemies cannot harm me. Hallelujah. People spying upon me cannot harm me. God has charged his protection on my life. Somebody who accepted, clap your hands, thank the Lord and worship his holy name this morning. Thank God for the good Boaz he has given us. Hallelujah. Oh, what a good Boaz he is. In the first sight itself, The first sight itself, protection. This is what Jesus has done to you. The first sight he had on you. The first sight he had on you. He said, let protection be given. Hallelujah. Right person. Right protection. Then you go to the right position. When you are in the field of grace. Right position. Everybody say right position. Are you noting this down? Hallelujah. This is in the field of grace. This all happens. Right passion comes. Right place. Right people. Right protection. Right position. Verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at meal time, come thou hither. She said, he's telling, hallelujah. In Luke, in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 14, Boaz said unto her, come near, eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat behind. That was the pattern. They, after a tough day's labor, little alcoholic content should be there, must be there. It's not that you are going pimpery and out of control. That is how, you know, like how we have the Eleni, you know, the coconut water you drink. In the same way, vinegar wine was the custom there. So they put the bread into little wine and eat it so that it's good. Wine is good for health also, I heard. Little wine, not too much. Little wine for stomach problems. Little wine, don't drink too much. Little wine, good for stomach problems. Paul says to Timothy, I heard that you have some stomach problems, some gastritis probably. Have some little wine. Paul says that. That doesn't mean, pastor said, go and have some good beer in the pub. No, I'm not at all advocating that. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to go anywhere. But this is what Boaz is telling. Come near to me. Come near to me. Come near to me. I want to give you rest. And he dipped the bread and gave to that foreign woman called Ruth. The same way, you and me were strangers to the presence of God. We were completely foreign to the things of God. But Jesus said, come near. Come near. I want to give you this bread. My commitment to you. Today also, as we are here, he's here with us. And he's ready to serve you. He's ready to serve you. We who were far are brought near. Hallelujah. Excuse me. You might be far. But God says, come near unto me. I want to serve you. I want to minister to you. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, you who sometimes were far off, write it down, Ephesians 2:13. We who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. You know what made you to sit here and say hallelujah to the Almighty God? Do you know that your hallelujahs are ringing in heaven? Why? We who were farthest, we who were like dogs, God said, come, come. Because he chose us, we sing to him. Because he chose us, we declare praises to him. Are you feeling his nearness to you today? Hallelujah. Oh, Rabalaba Shakaraba. Thank you, man. Say, Lord, thank you for making me so near to your presence.